Jason explained at the beginning that we've had a song leader change this morning, and for those of you who learned the new song on Wednesday night, you'll understand that that's why it wasn't included today. It will be obviously done at another point in time. When you were a child, maybe you wondered, as some children do, where the sidewalk ends. Shel Silverstein, of course, has a book about that. This morning I want to share with you that we found the place. This is actually, some of you actually passed this sign. It's north of Edmond on Covell, just as you get to the Interstate 35. The question that I have in my mind is, why do you need the sign? You know, the sidewalk is there and then it's not. We live in a world where signs have become just overpowering everywhere. You know, people are putting a sign up. Part of it is legal responsibility. You know, did you put a sign up? And so people get caught up in that all the time. It's difficult to communicate in signs because there's not a lot of time, not a lot of information. This one, of course, is getting nationwide criticism. Don't hit our workers. Avoid $10,000 fine. This is an Oklahoma-only sign. And it's really kind of hard to figure out. It's kind of like if people don't matter, maybe money does. You'd think that the first line would be sufficient there to get everybody's attention. But you look around and the highways are constantly full of road signs, and that's even before you get to billboards and all kinds of things. World is full of signs. And this morning I'd like for us to think in terms of some of the signs that exist in our spiritual moral lives, not just the signs we see driving down the freeway or moving from place to place. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, Jesus says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. It didn't matter to the Jews that Jesus did all these signs. They wanted one purely prompted by them at the moment they wanted to see it. They wanted Jesus to be able to call one up, and certainly Jesus could have done that, but he didn't accept their parameters. He didn't accept their definition. He didn't accept their understanding. He didn't want to accept the way they were laying things out. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. He says, "You know how to read the sky. Red sky at morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight." You understand that. Reminds me of the time, last week I talked about my grandfather, and, back in my grandfather's era, there wasn't all this information that you got on television in regard to Oklahoma storms. And the old gentleman would stand out on the back porch and try to guess, you know, what was going to happen. I mentioned him several times last week, and a number of you have contacted me this week talking about your grandfather or various kinds of things, and I just appreciate that so very much. We've come to be dependent on the experts, and it's wonderful to have a smartphone. It's wonderful to be look at any second and find out what an expert would say about this. That's great. Whether it's a financial advice, whether it's weather, whether it's any kind of information, that's a wonderful opportunity. But we get to the place where we can be overly dependent on what the experts are telling us. And we sometimes forget that the interpretation of the signs is our responsibility. The Jews said to Jesus, "Do a miracle. Do it right here, right now, and we'll believe." And he says, "You know how this works. Don't you understand? I'm putting out these signs out there. All you have to do is manage just a little bit of understanding. You know how to read signs." And they're reluctant to do that. Jesus is providing for them negative signs. He's providing for them positive signs. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is going to say something that's really going to concern the people who hear it. It says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these great things, he asked, these incredible buildings in the temple grounds? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. To this very day, there are 14-ton foundational stones in what's left of that temple. Jesus says, this place is going to be torn down completely. Now, that's going to get their attention. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus, tell us when this event is going to take place. How will we know that this is going to occur? How can we take action? How can we be prepared? How can we be ready for this particular moment? And Jesus gives to his disciples important information about how to respond to that particular event. The destruction of Jerusalem is going to result in the death of 1.1 million non-combatants. Another 100,000 are going to be taken into slavery. Tremendous amount of destruction. Would you want to know that was coming? Well, of course you would. Jesus says to them, there's going to be a bunch of false signs. If you look through Matthew 24, you look in Luke chapter 21, you'll see Jesus says there's going to be a lot of false signs. Don't fall for those. Information will come your way. Then verse 15 of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says there's going to be an army, literally, that's going to occupy. That's a pretty easy sign to read. If an army shows up, there's going to be destruction. And people look at that and say, well, what good does it do you after the army's already shown up? Well, the truth is, Titus, the Roman general who would later become the Roman emperor, actually shows up twice. He shows up to conquer Jerusalem, but because of another issue is drawn away. And what do they do? Jesus goes through in Matthew chapter 24 and says, don't even come down from the roof. Don't hesitate at all. Go away from the city. And everybody goes to the city. Titus shows up, leaves, and they still have Passover. That's why there's a million plus people there who were killed. They came for Passover. What are they thinking? The signs were there. The information was given them. And later on, Jesus says to them, when somebody comes after you've fled and says, come back, don't do it. You're not going to miss my coming. And if you're sometimes confused about which of those signs are for the city of Jerusalem and which of those signs are for Jesus' second coming, it's really clearly distinguished in Matthew chapter 24. And what Jesus is saying about the signs related to his second coming is, just because you're hiding in the mountains from the Romans, you're not going to miss my second coming. It's going to be so broad and so dramatic that that's not possible. So don't worry about it. He wanted them to be able to see signs. He wanted them to be able to read the signs. And he had confidence in their willingness and their ability to do that. The Jewish people just weren't responsive to this at all. What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Again, they wanted a sign on the spot right now. As Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. 3 days in the belly of the whale, 3 days in the earth, Jesus is going to talk about. And that resurrection emerging from that, it's going to be the ultimate sign. And I've mentioned before, when I was younger, I didn't understand how people came by at the crucifixion and railed against Jesus and said, if you just come down from the cross, we'll believe. And I wondered when I was younger, why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? Well, the reality is they wouldn't have believed anyway, because the resurrection is a greater sign than leaving the cross. And they won't accept or they won't believe that. This morning, I'm interested in the signs that are in your life. Herod wanted to see a sign again, right on the spot. This morning, I would challenge you to think just a little bit about what are the signs that are showing in your life and in your existence and in your spiritual situation particularly. Now, hopefully in some of your situations or many of your situations, hopefully in all of your situations, there are positive things that indicate that your spiritual life is growing and that you're being led by the Spirit. But there are other things that point in negative directions for us sometimes. And we have to have the ability and we have to have the willingness to interpret those signs. And for just a minute today, I'd like to encourage you just a little bit to do that. What's going on right now? What kind of things are you concerned about? Maybe you're getting a little too close to a coworker. A little too possessed by money. Maybe power is really tempting you because you feel yourself growing in that particular area. Maybe you're hungry to fulfill your own selfish desires. And if you were honest with yourself, you would admit that the signs are not good. I'm being drawn in a direction that scares me. I'm being too self-centered. I'm being too focused on what I want. I'm letting my personality just come loose and do whatever it wants to do at particular moments because I'm irritable or angry or various kinds of things. My relationships are starting to deteriorate. And all around me are these warning signs that things aren't right in my life. I'm not being what God wants me to be. I'm not being led by the Spirit. I'm doing what I want to do. And it isn't working out very well. Obviously, it's difficult to tell sometimes. It's hard to know. But mostly, it's about being honest. Those Jewish people knew the signs. They wouldn't be honest enough to interpret them properly. We have responsibility to interpret the signs in our own lives and to do it properly. You know, whenever there's somebody out there that does something extreme and we see it on the news from time to time. Often they'll go and talk to the neighbors, and you've seen this so many times. The neighbors say, well, I didn't know. We didn't know. And in a few days, the picture starts to clarify. There's a website, or there's a background, or there's history information, and it starts to come out, and then you're not really surprised. The warning signs were there. And a lot of people, when we get to that place, they go, well, why don't we respond to those warning signs? We're not skilled enough as a society yet to be able to say, just because these elements are here, this person's going to do a certain thing. But people around that person could see it coming. They knew exactly what was going to go on. The signs were literally there. Now, we drop back sometimes and say, well, you know, maybe just a little, but it's not really clear. You know, it's not clear enough for me to actually make a life change. You drive around here and you come up to a stop sign and you know what that means. You go to Mexico and I don't know what alto means, but I know it's a stop sign. I can make that jump. I'm able to do that. Now, I could sit back and say, well, wait a second, it's not totally clear, so I don't have to stop. It's a warning. It's an indication. And in our lives, we have those warnings. We have those indications. A person who's drinking gets pulled over and given a DUI. That's a serious kind of thing in their life. But the reality is there were probably lesser signs that they chose not to listen to or not to observe before they got to that particular point. Probably some of you are familiar with this comedy routine. A guy by the name of Bill Engvall has Here's Your Sign. And he's just super easily lumped everybody into certain categories, and he says the world would be a better place if we just give people a sign so that when they came up to you, you'd know exactly what their position was or where they were coming from. And he uses examples like, you know, there's a moving truck in your front yard and boxes, and people come up and say, y'all moving? That's a pretty easy thing to see and a pretty easy thing to observe. And we can read those signs pretty easily. It would sometimes be more convenient for us if the people around us literally had an advertisement about who they are and where they're coming from. When you look out and say, boy, there may be some things in my life that aren't fitting together exactly the way I need for them to be, it's indicating a direction that's probably going to lead me to something that's very unpleasant. There'll be plenty of people around you who'll say, no, that's okay, it's okay, it's all right. It's not really all that bad. It's going to work out. We get encouragement in negative directions. And it would be good to know, where's that person coming from? What's their perspective? What's real? And what's really true? This morning, I'm going to offer an invitation. And every Sunday I don't do a drawn-out invitation. A reason for that is the fact that people just get used to hearing it. And I can tell when I start my invitation every week because you guys start reaching for stuff. It's over. And so it's time to get your book. It's time to get this. And I never understand that because we're going to be here for a while longer. But that's just kind of the reaction that we have. This morning, though, I'm pointing this out because I'd just like for you to think about what the warning signs are in your life. And if you come to a conclusion that you need to do something different, then there are lots of options out there. Some of you may be saying, you know, I probably need to visit with somebody. Some of you may be saying, maybe I need to be in a support group. Maybe I need to access the employee assistance program at my employment place. Maybe I need to find somebody who cares about me. Maybe I need to find somebody who's knowledgeable. There are all kinds of options out there. Don't wait. Don't wait. Deal with it today. I like a lot about AA. I like the fact that in order for that to work, you have to get to the place where you say, I am helpless, and I need a higher power. That's the only way out of this situation. The reality is, that's the way it all works. We get to the place where we say, I'm helpless. I cannot do this by myself. I have to have the intervention of a higher power. And this morning, if you're headed toward the brink, if you're fixing to go off the edge, or if you're just in the early stages and you can feel yourself being pulled in that direction, you need that higher power. I share this with you this morning because I see people moving that way. Look at yourself. Look at the signs. Look at the indications. Am I moving toward that waterfall? Am I going to go over it? Is there something I can do? There is. As I often say, it may be something totally private, and many of those situations will be. I ask only that you think about it. I would encourage you to pray about it. I would encourage you to look carefully at those signs. If you do find yourself in a spot where you want to do something about it right now, we'd help you while we sing the song together.